Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The Old Testament reading is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd of a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 147 responsibly. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
Who has strengthened the bars of your gates and has blessed your children within.
God has established peace on your borders and satisfies you with the finest wheat.
God sends out commands of the earth.
God gives snow like wool, scattering frost like ashes.
God scatters hail like breadcrumbs. Who can stand against God's bow?
The Lord sends forth the word and melts them. The wind blows and the waters flow.
God declares the word to Jacob, statutes and judgments to Israel.
The Lord has done so to any other, has not done so to any other nation. They do not know God's judgments. Hallelujah. The New Testament reading is from the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Happy New Year. It is good to gather together this morning. And so, start the new year out. Let's start with a question. List your kin, as many kin as you can. Turn to a neighbor and take a moment to list them all. Consider your family, your in-group. Just make a list. 1 minute each, all right? Nobody be hogging the time. There's always a danger in doing something like this. Will he get them back? In our hearing today, we encounter a poem that sets out the basis for understanding who Jesus is, and we need to listen carefully with the ears that are tuned to the poetic. We don't listen to it as a history in the strictest sense, or even as science, but the poetic is what frames our understanding of all these things that John wants us to hear. Now, one of the chief concerns for John's gospel is relationships, and in good poetic fashion, the author uses binary absolutes to illustrate how things fit together. Don't worry, it's blurred out. It's my family. You don't need to know all the details. All right? So when you list your kinship, it's an example. So when you list your kinship, do you list God? Or Jesus? Or your community of faith, whether it be St. Andrew's Lutheran Church or the Central State Synod or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or the Church Universal? In so many ways, that is what is at stake. In a time that is particularly messy for the Jesus movement, when the Second Temple had fallen, when divisiveness was abounding, when insurrection had been put down decisively, when the Jesus movement was finding itself outside the Jewish community, when the first round of persecutions had challenged believers in Jesus, in times like these, it matters who the faithful associate with. It matters who is identified as with us. For John's gospel, the point is that Jesus is foundational. Jesus is integral to the creative movement. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The authors were intentional in linking this language to the first words of Genesis, in the beginning. And this Word dwells with us. The Greek more literally means pitches a tent among us, builds a house next door, moves into the neighborhood, becomes one of us. In fact, this Word made flesh is Son of God. There is no higher honor. But more so for those who believe, they are born of God. There it is. Your kinship. Through the waters of baptism, by the power of the Holy Spirit working with faith within you, your kinship is with and from God and in the company of Jesus. In short, as we conclude the Christmas season and prepare for Epiphany, each one of us hears this invitation to see, to believe, to trust that God has claimed you, that Jesus has named you children of God. You are honored in this magnificently awesome way. By God's grace, we are children of God who get to live in proximity with God. That is core. Our days are not so much different from that first century. This year, Hanukkah was marred by acts of violence against our Jewish sisters and brothers. Last Sunday, Christian worship was interrupted with gunfire. As this week progressed, the world finds itself wrestling with failed diplomacy and escalations of violence among nations. Wildfires plague Australia. Some lament what they see as the demise of the church, certainly the centrality of Christianity. These are indeed difficult times. It is a frightening time. It is at times like these that the people of God need to be clear about who they are and whose they are. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the power to become children of God. In the Epiphany, we celebrate Christ revealed to the whole world. The arrival of the Magi reminds us that Jesus' birth is not a local or ethnic or even an only for us event. Christ is revealed for the whole world, for all people, for all nations, for all genders, for all creation. Throughout this coming time after Epiphany, the church will hear about Jesus' early ministry, about disciples called. It is through those disciples, through you and me, that Christ is revealed to others. In these frightening times, we focus on the basics, on the core. We know that the fundamentals come down to central practices, worship. Join the community of faith in worshiping God and Jesus Christ, not because God needs it, but because our worship orients our identity toward that which gives life. Pray. Make a daily practice of praying regularly in response to joys and needs, fears and celebrations. Study. Read Scripture on a regular basis. God's witness in Scripture helps us to see differently. Care. Engage in caring conversations among fellow believers. We call it fellowship here. Gathering with the faithful and sharing what's going on in our lives. And out of that, offering encouragement to one another and certainly praying for one another in our own needs. Invite. Evangelism, inviting others, is not to invite them to church. No, it is to invite people into relationship with Jesus Christ. Invite them into knowing the one who has changed and reoriented your life. And perhaps the place where that happens is in the encounter with Word and Holy Sacrament, in the place and in the occasion of our gathering as a worshiping community. Give. Live a life of generosity that shows forth your awareness of God's grace in your midst, and serve. Act on opportunities to love your neighbor as yourself, as God has commanded us to do. The faithful live this way for no other reason than that God has already shown us favor. The author of John calls it grace upon grace. As children of God, this community and congregations like it throughout the world, in the person of Jesus the Christ, have known and experienced God's favor. Now is the time to help others see this life-giving truth. In Jesus, God has moved into the neighborhood.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.